The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 231, Philadelphia, November 9, 1740, to His Excellent Jonathan Belcher, Esquire, in Boston. Though late, I now snatch a few moments to send Your Excellency my acknowledgments for all honors received at Boston. They are much upon my heart. I pray God to reward Your Excellency 1,000-fold. Great things has the glorious Emmanuel done for me and his people on the way. The word has been attended with much power. Surely our Lord intends to set America in a flame. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 132, Philadelphia, November 10, 1740. To Mr. M. at London, my dear brother. Still, my Lord shows me greater things. At New York, the Holy Ghost came down like a mighty rushing wind. At Baskinridge, still a greater awakening among you, young and old. One that received Christ cried out, "He is come, he is come," etc. The poor creature was wrapped up in the Lord Jesus, and both there and at New York, my soul was taken almost out of the body. At Newark, the Lord worked wonderfully among some young men, and here at Philadelphia, the word runs very swiftly. This afternoon, how beautiful did the Lord appear in His sanctuary. I would cry out, "How admirable are Thy dwellings, Thou Lord of hosts." In several places, almost as large as Northampton, are many faithful laborers. We all think and speak the same things. Oh, that it was so at London. The Lord enables me to confute error wherever I see it. Pray for me that I may be made faithful to my Lord and Master. He is dearer to me every day. He will have mercy because we will have mercy. See Brother L's letter. Another journal comes out shortly. My hearty love to all. Stand fast in the faith. Quit yourselves like men. Be strong. Above all, give thanks to God. And pray in behalf of dear Mr. M., your most affectionate brother and servant, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 233, Philadelphia, November 10, 1740. To Mr. G.L., dear Brother L., I wrote to you last week from New York. You may give friends this brief account of me. On last Saturday evening, I arrived at this place having preached at Staten Island, Newark, Baskinridge, New Brunswick, and Trenton. In my way hither from New York, a wonderful presence of God was observable in New York, Baskinridge, and Newark. I preached here twice yesterday, and also today, in a large house built by the people since I was here last. It is 100 feet long and 70 feet wide, and is intended for a school, as well as a place for public worship. The walls are brick, and the roof is now almost ready to be put up. God hath remarkably appeared in the carrying on of the building, and the Holy Spirit hath sweetly moved on the hearers' souls every time I preached in it. I intend, God willing, to stay here this and to embark for Georgia the latter end of next week, and propose, God willing, to return to England for a short time in the spring. The Lord highly favors me. I am more sick of myself and more in love with Christ daily. He is a dear, dear Master. Oh, that all would love Him with all their hearts. Alleluia, it is late. The Lord be with your spirit, your affectionate friend, brother, and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 234, Salem, November 20, 1740. To the Reverend Mr. D. at New Brunswick, my very dear brother, excess of business, not a want of love, prevented my writing to you from Philadelphia. I feel that I love you in the bowels of the dear Jesus, our ever-blessed and glorious Emmanuel. He hath done great things for me since you left us. Yesterday, at COHANSIE, The Spirit of the Lord moved over the whole congregation. What reason have we to be thankful for the great things we both see and hear? My dear brother, indeed, I desire to lie in the dust. Oh, how good is my Lord to me. Thoughts cannot conceive or words express it. I long to be in glory, that I may praise Him as I would. I rejoice to hear that the Lord is with you. Shortly, I believe, you will be evangelized. All friends kindly salute you. Alleluia. In great haste I am, your very affectionate, very unworthy brother and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 235, November 24th, 1740, to Mr. J.H., Bohemia, Maryland. To my very dear brother, I rejoice to hear that you are married. I salute your wife and my sister in Christ. May you love one another as Christ and His church. I have lately conversed closely with P. B. Alas, we differ widely in many respects. Therefore, to avoid disreputation and jealousies on both sides, it is best to carry on the work of God apart. The divisions among the brethren sometimes grieve, but do not surprise me. How can it be otherwise when teachers who do not think and speak the same things? God grant we may keep up a cordial dissembly love towards each other, notwithstanding our different opinions. Oh, how do I long for heaven? Surely there will be no divisions, no strife there. But who shall sing with the most affections to the Lamb who sitteth on the throne? Dear James, there I hope to meet thee, for the dear Jesus, I believe, hath locked thee fast in His almighty arms. Lean thou on His sacred bosom night and day. Keep close to Him, and be what I long to be, a little child. Alleluia. I am ready to weep tears of love. My dear brother, I should be glad to wash any of the brethren's feet. Indeed, I am now willing to be the servant of all. The more the Lord honors me, the more I feel my unworthiness. I am sometimes sick of love and often, often sick of self. Oh, that God should have mercy on such a sinner. Help me, dear James, to praise my Savior. A glorious church is rising in America. The Lord mightily reveals His arm. It would please you to see His outgoings, His stately steps in the great congregation. I only want fellow laborers. I look to Jesus for this and for everything. I desire you to print nothing against your conscience. Only do not immediately censor everything that may not seem clear to you. Our Lord may guide me even into things which as yet you may not see into. The day of the judgment will discover all. Alleluia. Ever, ever yours and our blessed Emmanuel, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 236, November 24th, 1740, to the Reverend Mr. John Wesley, Bohemia, Maryland. Dear and Honorable Sir, last night, Brother G. brought me your two kind letters. Oh, that there may be harmony and very intimate union between us. Yet it cannot be, since you hold universal redemption. But no more of this. Perhaps in spring we may see each other face to face. This evening, God willing, I propose to embark for Georgia. Wonderful things our Lord brings to pass in these parts every day. Here is a close opposition from some of the Presbyterian clergy. The seed of the serpent is the same in all, of whatever communion. I expect much more opposition every hour. The devil rages in London. He begins now to triumph indeed. The children of God are disunited among themselves. The King of the Church shall yet overrule all things for good. My dear brother, for Christ's sake, avoid all disputation. Do not oblige me to preach against you. I had rather die. Be gentle towards thee. They will get great advantage over you if they discover any irregular warmth in your temper. I cannot
for my soul. Unite with the Moravian brethren. Honored sir, Adelu, yours eternally in Jesus Christ, G.W.
The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, dated 1771, Letter 237, November 24, 1740, St. George's, Pennsylvania. Dear Brother T., God has revived His own work in Philadelphia. His glory filled the great house. The affairs belonging thereto, I believe, are well settled. We have had precious times at Cohansey, Salem, Fogg's Manor, Nottingham, White Clay Creek, and Bohemia. Brother G. is come from England very opportunely. Brother S. comes from Christmas. The brethren, I think, do grow, though sadly divided. But our Lord will order all for good. Upon several accounts, I think it best to embark for England as soon as possible in the spring. Oh, pray for me, that I may not be any means grieved, the children of God. I hope the weather is warm enough for you. I trust our Lord has warmed and filled your dear soul. Your brother Charles is with me. My dear fellow travelers salute you, and their dear brother R. My love to all that love the Lord Jesus. The war goes on bravely between Michael and the dragon. Our dear Lord, O condescending love, is wondrous kind to your poor, weak, unworthy brother and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, dated 1771, Letter Number 238. Reedy Island, November 26, 1740. Dear Mr. F., I thank you for your letter. You may print my life as you desire. God willing, I shall correct my two volumes of sermons and send them the very first opportunity. Pray write to me by every ship that goes shortly to Charlestown. I shall embark for England, God willing, about February. I desire I may hear from you there also, as often as possible. I have placed Jinx and Presumptuous Sinners detected. Mr. Bradford has the last, because he said he was to print it. You may have it of him. The Ornaments of the Daughter of Siam you may have hereafter. Dear Sir Adelu, I do not despair of your seeing the reasonableness of Christianity. Apply to God, be willing to do the divine will, and you shall know it. I have heard from Mr. S. All is well. Today several friends have taken leave of me at this place, waiting for a fair wind in order to embark for Georgia. I think I have been on shore 73 days and have been enabled to travel upwards of 800 miles and to preach 170 times, besides very frequent exhortations at private houses. I have collected in goods and money upwards of 700 pounds sterling for the orphan house. Blessed be God. Great invisible are the fruits of my labor, as well as former seeable labors, and people in general see more eager after the word than ever. Oh, the love of God to your unworthy friend, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 239, Charlestown, December 10, 1740, to Mr. N. in New York, my very dear brother. In 8 days the Lord brought us hither. We arrived last night when the Redeemer vouchsafed so to fill me with His divine consolations that I could scarce sleep. I have been preaching this morning on the fire that happened of late from these words, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us very, very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. I am now determined to see England as soon as possible. I have had much of God's presence in our passage hither from Philadelphia, and have many precious letters to send you. Oh, follow me with your prayers. I leave Charlestown, God willing, tonight, in order to hasten to their relief, and shall go in the same sloop which brought me hither. To my beloved Georgia,
As soon as possible, I will send you a long letter. In the meanwhile, accept of my love from dear Mr. M., your affectionate friend and brother in Christ, T.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 240. On board the Sylvania for Georgia, December the 11th, 1740. To Mr. G. C. Dear Brother C., your late letters, especially that which you sent me by way of Charlestown, made me smile. I was glad to find that you had not so far thrown off all outward things as to resolve not to write to anyone, and I thought I knew the frame of your heart, as though I was within you. My dear, dear George C., I love you tenderly in the bowels of Jesus Christ, and therefore would not have you be deceived. Alas, why do you pervert this text of Scripture? Be still, and know that I am the Lord. As if it was designed to keep a Christian from striving, or meant a stillness of body, or waiting upon God only in silence. The expression is taken out of the 46th Psalm, where God's fury against the heathen is described in the most lively colors, and then lest his people should complain of the severity of the dispensation, God commands them to be still, not to murmur or repine, knowing that he was the Lord and might do what seemed him good. Thus Tate and Brady, in their translation, explain it, and thus it is the true and genuine meaning of the sentence. It has no reference to stillness in prayer or stillness of body. Dear brother, I speak to you plainly because I love you. I think I know what it is to wait upon the Lord in silence and to feel the Spirit of God making intercessions for me with groanings which cannot be uttered. Often I have been at such times filled, as it were, with the fullness of God, and I do now daily carry on a communion with the Most High God and the ever-blessed Jesus. But all this, I fear, is contrary to the false stillness you and some others seem to have fallen into. I was just in the same case some years ago at Oxford, when I declined writing, reading, and such like exercises, because I would be still. The Lord convinced me. I pray he may also convince you of this delusion. Dear George, consider how contrary your maxim is to our Savior's. You say, be still. He says, strive. As in agony, strive that you may enter in at the strait gate. Indeed, my dear man, I pity you, knowing you have but a weak judgment, though a well-meaning heart. You once thought you was born again. Then you found it was only a lapse of the Holy Ghost. You used to say you wished you could believe from experience in the doctrine of election. Now, you find as yet no evidence within yourself that you are a real Christian. You take too much refuge, I fear, in the doctrine of universal redemption. It is the finest doctrine in the world to cause a soul to be falsely still and to say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You seem to insist upon sinless perfection, and to think a man hath no real salvation till he literally cannot commit sin. From whose experience do you write this? Not from your own, dear George, for I must question, if ever your heart was truly broken or had a saving closure with Christ, you seem to mention Peter Botchler as an instance, but instead, alas, though he was washed in the blood of the Lamb, so as to be justified from all his sins, yet, like me, his feet want washing still, and will till he bows his head and gives up the ghost. I have conversed with him intimately. Take heed, brother, of having anything too much in admiration, or of thinking you must necessarily find Christ at such and such a place. You have been at M. I believe you have seen many dear children of God, but have not returned home with Christ in your heart. Your letters do not speak much improvement in the school of Christ. If God loves you, he will let you see the vanity of your present imaginations and bring you to see the salvation is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Dear George, be not given to change. Be not too fond of new things, to the law and to the testimony, and see what Christ and his apostles have spoken. I speak this out of love and not in reference to myself. If God blesses another's ministry to your soul, I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. But if I see your fall into errors, do not be angry if I tell you the truth. If you are, I will, notwithstanding love, and pray for you. That errors are crept in among you, I think is too plain. But I suspend my judgment till the spring, when, God willing, I hope to be in London. In the meanwhile, pray for me that I may with joy bear to be deserted by those who once were blessed and awakened by my ministry, and to whom I am a spiritual father, though they may have many instructors. Dear George, may the Lord be with you. He only knows how dear you are to my heart. It is near midnight, but it was much upon my heart to write you this letter, that God may sanctify it to your edification and comfort. Is the hearty prayer of your affectionate friend, brother, and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 241, Good Hope, South Carolina, January 1, 1741, to the Reverend Mr. C.H.A.U.N.C.E.Y. Reverend and dear sir, I am now going to Charlestown in order to embark for England. The cloud of God's providence seems to be moving that way. I have enjoyed much of the divine presence since I left Boston and have had a comfortable Christmas with my dear family at Georgia. At my return, I found my orphan house removed from Savannah to Bethsaida, the great improvements made during the time of my absence. The great house will be finished, God willing, so as to be habitable in about 2 months. It would have been finished so far by this time if the Spaniards had not taken a schooner loaded with bricks and other provisions to a considerable value. But God, about the same time, stirred up the heart of a planter in South Carolina, lately brought home at the orphan house to God, to send my family some rice and beef. At other times when they have wanted food, the Indians have brought plenty of venison. God every day more and more convinces us that this work is of Him. His power has been made known, especially among the young ones. I bless God I have settled my family to my great satisfaction, and verily believe I shall live to see great things come from the orphan house. God works upon the hearts of the laborers. One woman hath had a glorious discovery of Christ made to her heart. Last week two or three men were brought into heart distress, and another young man that came to see us was made so sick of sin as to feel the want of and to inquire after the great and all-powerful physician of souls. My family, I think, consists now of 89 persons. Next year my expenses will be contracted much, but at present I am in debt about 500 sterling. However, I know in whom I have believed, one who is able to pay it. My public account will be published as soon as I arrive at London, with the prospect of the orphan house and other little houses and gardens annexed into it. I am now at the house of one Mr. Jonathan B., who I trust with his brother, Mr. H. B., and another young man, lately a player in New York, are settled by the living faith in Jesus Christ. The latter I intend for the ministry. Mr. H.B.'s wife died not long since, rejoicing in God, her Savior. Several others also in these parts are grown in grace, and Mr. C.'s ministry hath been much blessed. Satan hath been sowing tares in old England. Oh, that Boston ministers and people may pray for me. Indeed, I love them in the bowels of the blessed Jesus. That Christ's kingdom may flourish in your heart, and that you may be greatly promote it in the souls of others, is the hearty prayer of Reverend and dear sir, your affectionate, unworthy fellow servant in our common Lord, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 242, Charlestown, January 12, 1741. To the Reverend Mr. C. Dear and Reverend Sir, last Saturday I was taken up for being concerned in correcting the enclosed printed letter, written by Mr. H. B. N., whose conversion you have an account of in the open letter sent herewith. I think it may be for God's glory to have them all printed in Boston. I am bound over to appear next sessions, as well as Mr. B. He, I believe, for libeling the king, and I for libeling the clerk, in saying they break the canons daily. I think, dear sir, these are earnest of what I must expect to meet with in my native country. Opposition as yet seems to be only like a cloud rising out of the sea, no bigger than a man's hand. Perhaps it will gather to a great body and break upon the church of God. Our Lord will be our refuge in every storm. He is much with my soul and fills me abundantly. I could almost say superabundantly with his presence. We have seen precious times. One person had a glorious discovery of Christ about 2 days ago. I expect my family will be like the burning bush. I find I am in debt for them upwards of £600, but the Lord will provide. My most tender love awaits all that love him. I am to appear at the session by at attorney. Dear sir, remember, ever yours in Christ, G.W.
The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 243. Charlestown, January 16, 1741. To the Reverend Mr. C. at Rhode Island. Reverend and Dear Sir, I snatch a few moments to write you a line before I embark for England. Blessed be God, you are near your desired haven. Yet a little while, and you shall safely arrive in Abraham's bosom. Great things God is doing daily. The kingdom of heaven, I hope, is at hand. I am bound over to appear at the sessions here by my attorney for libeling the clergy because I corrected the letter enclosed. A scene of suffering lies before me, but wherefore shall I fear? Our Lord strengthens me mightily in the inner man. We have had much of his presence in our assemblies, but I must have done. Dear and Reverend Sir, I scarce expect to see you again in the flesh, but this is my comfort. I shall see and rejoice with you above. There I will sit and tell you what God hath done for your unworthy brother and servant in Jesus Christ, G.W. End of letter 243. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 244. Charlestown, January 16, 1741, to the Reverend Mr. C. in Boston. Reverend and Dear Sir, though I have packed up two letters of you already, yet I cannot refrain from sending you a third. Just now I was favored with yours, dated last December 1st. Indeed, it gave me much comfort and endeared the writer of it to me more and more. Sir, why am I thus highly favored? I now wish to sink exceeding low and cry out, Grace, Grace, oh, the love of God, the sovereignty of Christ, the unchangeable loving-kindness of our Heavenly Father. Excuse me, dear Mr. C., my heart is full. I want for all men to love the Lord Jesus. It greatly rejoices me to hear so many are coming to Him. He is a loving, tender Master. He attends to my minutest wants and surprisingly helps me in every emergency. I thank dear Mr. C. for the kind token of his love. Good measure, breast down, and running over. May God return into your bosom. You will be pleased to correct the press. I am filled with comfort to hear of the conduct of the dear governor, etc. I cannot but think of our Lord will let his word run and be abundantly glorified in America. Boston people are much upon my heart. The memory of the forefathers is precious to my soul. May you live to see the spirit of the scripture spiritism universally prevail. I hope you will write every opportunity. If I am in prison, it will make me arise at midnight to sing praises to God, to hear what Boston people are alive to Christ. At present, my heart is full of peace and joy. We have had solemn meetings. I am much strengthened on every side, but I must not say more. Time is short. Dear Mr. C., Adelu, may the Lord be with you and yours. I can now drop a tear of love. My love to all, I am yours, etc. G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 245. On board the Minerva for England, January 17, 1741. To Mr. W. D. at Boston. Dear Sir, Mr. P. has just brought me your kind letter. Blessed be God, that his word runs and is glorified in Boston. Surely, dear sir, I shall never forget that people, indeed, they are very near and dear upon my soul. May those of your own household in particular be not only convicted but converted. May the dear Jesus fill you with all peace and joy in believing and enable you to pray for, dear sir, yours in the blessed Jesus. G.W. P.S. Excuse great haste. Our ship is just under sail. My dear companions, kindly salute you and yours. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 246. On board the Minerva, February 8, 1741, in latitude 35, 24 north. To Mr. William G., my dear brother, see how soon I write to you, and from thence infer how I love you. Whether it proceeds from the pride and naughtiness of my heart, I cannot tell. But I frankly confess, I love to see persons humble, kind, and courteous to those whom God hath made their spiritual fathers. I believe it is well-pleasing to God, and very amiable in the sight of all good men. Your Christian grateful behavior to me in this respect hath much endeared you to me. God only knows how I love you. I bear you upon my heart, and often secretly sigh out before the Lord. Oh, let my dear brother G. live before thee. This is the desire of my soul for you. I cannot wish you a better thing. Yet a little while, and we shall be together again. But before that time, I expect to suffer great things. The Lord is able to deliver me out of all. I have just now experienced in his divine assistance in composing a sermon. This is the sixth which he hath enabled me to finish since I have been on board. O my dear brother, love a precious Christ and show it by adoring his gospel in all things. He has highly favored you, indeed he hath. If you and I are not eminently holy, if you and I think anything too much to be done for the Lord, we are of all the men the most ungrateful. Oh, the love of Christ, I feel it. God now sheds it abroad in my heart. May abundantly also be shed on you by the Holy Ghost. Write to me, if in prison, my friends will bring it to me there. God will hear me for you, even in a dungeon. Methinks I see you weep, but weep not for me, unless it be before the Lord, and then I care not how soon you retire, and pour out your prayers in behalf of, dear Mr. G., your affectionate friend, brother, and servant, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 247, on board the Minerva, February 11, 1741. To Mrs. L. at Charlestown. Dear Mrs. L., you was upon the mount when I left Charlestown. I hope you have not thrown yourself down. Keep close to Christ and cast not off your first love. Remember what God has done for your soul. Forget not the glorious discovery Jesus Christ has made of himself to your heart, and though a cloud should overshadow you, let not Satan make you doubt of your being a child of God. O Mrs. L., how holy ought you to be in all manner of conversation and godliness. Why are you taken? Why are you in the arms of everlasting love? Methinks I hear you cry out, grace, grace, and well you may, for indeed you are saved by grace. The free grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now and forevermore. Blessed be God, I experience much of it in the ship. I hope divine grace moves me to send you this small letter. If God blesses it to your soul, put up a short prayer for your affectionate and servant in Christ, G.W. End of letter 247. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 248. On board the Minerva, February 11, 1741, to Mrs. W. at James Island. Dear Madam, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that you may be saved. I hope you will find it is not impossible for you to be born again when you are old. God forbid. Though at the 11th hour I trust our Lord will meet you and cause you, whenever you depart, with good old Simon, to depart in peace. I heartily thank you, Madam, for all favors conferred on me and mine. I do not forget to mention you in my secret prayers. May God reveal his dear Son in your soul and fill you with all peace and joy in believing. Oh, what a staff will this be
to you in your old age. How pleasantly then will you walk by your vault and say, there shall I lay my weary bones, ere long. I hope you do not startle at the thoughts of death. Believe in Christ. Get a saving interest in his blood, and then you may cry out, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Blessed be God, the prospect of death is pleasing to my soul. I would not live here always. I want to be gone. Thank you and I, whenever our appointed time has come, may live with Christ, is the earnest prayer of Madam, your obliged friend and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 249, on board the Minerva, February 12, 1741. Dear Mrs. T., must I pray for you in the language of Martha and Mary, saying, Lord, she whom thou lovest is sick, or hath he who touched Peter's wife's mother rebuked the illness that was coming upon you when I saw you last, and caused it to leave you? But, however the Lord has dealt with you, I hope he hath been glorified in and by you. I heard he hath by his word and spirit spoken to your soul and given you satisfaction that he had loved you with an everlasting love. I rejoice in it from my soul. The Lord increase your comforts daily and show you all his glory. Dear Mrs. T., think often of your departed sister. Follow her as she did Christ, and then shortly, where she is, you shall be also. Oh, the happiness she now enjoys. It is too dazzling for mortal eyes. I want to leap my 70 years and fly away to God. Well, it will not be long. Dear Mrs. T., let us patiently tarry till our change come. Our Lord will carry us safe through time and waste us triumphantly into eternity. The love of Christ constrains me to write these lines. Accept them for his sake from your affectionate friend and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 250. On board the Minerva, February 16, 1741. To Mr. H. at Port Royal, South Carolina. Dear Mr. H., the love of Christ constrains me to write you a line, though as yet no further than the Western Islands. I trust the Lord hath called you by name and enabled you to say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Who knows but he may call you yet further, even to minister before him. Whether it be so or not, make it your daily study to prepare your heart to serve the Lord in any station. To be a doorkeeper in the house of God is a gracious post. Surely, you and I may sing of mercy and electing love. How often have we acted a part for the devil? The remembrance of it is grievous unto me. Let us both now labor daily to act a part for God. He heaps kindnesses on me every hour. We have hitherto had a wonderful, pleasant passage. I hope it is in some measure owing to your prayers. Let this encourage you to pray again. Our God is a God hearing prayer. I write now, these excess of business should prevent my writing in England. The Lord is girding me for the battle and strengthening me mightily in the inner man. O give thanks unto the Lord of all lords, because his mercy endureth forever. You will not fail writing to your affectionate friend, brother, and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 251, on board the Minerva, February 17, 1741. To the Reverend Mr. C. in Charlestown, My dear brother, the Lord hath been with me and is now with me in a special manner. I have been enabled to prepare 9 discourses for the press. My body waxes stronger, and last night the great God in a glorious manner filled and overshadowed my soul. I am panting after the complete holiness of Jesus my Lord. I have various scenes of action lying before me, and am waiting upon the Lord my God for direction. He assures me that he will be with me. He saith unto me, Fear not, speak out. No one shall set upon thee to hurt thee. Dear Mr. C., God's goodness quite surprises me. I cannot express myself better than in a stanza or two of Erskine in his paraphrase upon Solomon's Song. Number 1. What wonders, Lord, dost thou perform, that stoopest thus so low, to put thy beauty on a worm, and then commend it so? 2. What dost thou praise a native block? I blush to find it true. Oh, leave me words to render back the praise to whom it's due. I hope my love will find acceptance with all your flock who know me and who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. I have often comforted myself and companions with the same. Now, Mr. C. and our other friends are praying for us. At the receipt of this, turn your prayers into praises, and then turn your praises again into prayers, in behalf of dear Mr. C., your affectionate brother and fellow laborers in Christ Jesus, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, On Board the Minerva, February 16, 1741. To Mr. H.B., my dear brother in Christ, before this is brought to your hands, I suppose you will have been arraigned before the Chief Justice. I am persuaded our Lord will plead on your behalf and strengthen you with his mighty power in the inner man. The greater progress you make in the divine life, the more you will discover of the enmity that is in the seed of the serpent. It bruised my master's heel, it will also bruise ours. Here is our comfort. God, who cannot lie, hath told us that we shall bruise his head. In the strength of this promise, I can give men and devils the challenge, whose legions are ready to beset me. By the help of my God, I shall triumph over all. I hope we shall grow in grace before we meet again. You and I have weak, crazy tabernacles. I hope you rejoice in the prospect of putting them off shortly. Blessed be God, I do. Dear sir, get acquainted more and more with electing love, study the covenant of redemption, and see how God loved you with an everlasting love. This will cause you to glory only in the Lord, and to pass through the valley of the shadow of death with a full assurance of faith, knowing that Christ hath engaged to lodge you safe in eternal glory. Thither your dear wife has gone before us. I can often think of, and I could almost say envy her, but perhaps that is wrong. Yet a little while, and our precious Lord shall take both you and your affectionate brother, friend, and servant in Christ, G.W. The Work of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 253, On Board the Minerva, February 16, 1741, to Mr. B. at Port Royal. Dear Mr. B., I hope you will never forget that day, hour, or moment, wherein God met you at Savannah. I hope, if you have, in some measure, do so no more. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. No man can serve two masters. Use the world, but let it be as though you used it not. The fashion of this world will soon, very soon, fade away. Dear Mr. B., I am persuaded, will not be offended at this plain dealing. He knows I love you. God knows it also. With much affection, I subscribe myself, your friend and servant, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 254, On Board the Minerva, February 16, 1741, to Mrs. B. Dear Mrs. B., when you read that Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and her sister Martha, do you not make a particular application to your own family? I think our Lord has been equally kind to your household. Walk as becometh members of the household of faith. I hope you have had full satisfaction about your state, and know assuredly that Christ is your Savior. If not, be not discouraged. Go on. The way of duty is the way of safety. By and by your soul shall magnify the Lord, and your spirit rejoice in God our Savior. This is the hearty desire of, dear Mrs. B., your affectionate friend and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 255, On Board the Minerva, February 16, 1741, to Mr. J.B. Dear Mr. B., your name, Jonathan, puts me in mind of a good Old Testament worthy. Follow him in his faith and dare to scale the wall of the Philistines. Be not afraid, although already bound over as a libeler. Surely you shall shine in the kingdom of your Father. I say your Father, for God is your God, and will be your guide and guardian to death. Does not this astonish you? Do not you feel your heart melt? Are you not ready to cry out, "Why me, Lord?" The oftener you repeat such language, the better. I love to see a soul lie in the dust under the sense of electing love. You and yours have been highly favored. May God give you all grace to walk worthy of the holy vocation wherewith you are called. I write this out of the fullness of my heart. Though not present, yet I fain would converse with you. Oh, that I may see you grow in grace. Remember me to your wife. The Lord be with you both. He hath been, he is now with me. You are often upon my heart. God reward you for your kindnesses to the orphans. Do not slack your hands towards them. Our bountiful Master will richly reward you. Go on steadily in the use of, but do not trust in ordinances. You know what I mean. Be steady and bold, yet meek and Catholic in your conversation and practice. And if God hath influenced you by my ministry, give him the glory. And for Christ's sake, pray for your affectionate brother and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 256, on board the Minerva, February 16, 1741, to Mr. B. in Charlestown. Dear Mr. B., I think of you often, and indeed I do. I long to hear that complete salvation has come to your soul. I say complete salvation, for my dear friend knows that reformation is not conversion. Oh, that you may experience a life hid with Christ in God. Some who seemingly put their hands to the plow have already shamefully looked back. Will Mr. B. also go away? Methinks I hear him say, "Whither shall I go? Jesus Christ alone hath the words of eternal life. True, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Flee, flee to him, my dear friend. With arms he stands ready to embrace, and with will save you to the utmost. Remember, my friend, the vows of the Lord are upon you. These hands reach out to you the sacred symbols of his precious body and blood. These eyes saw you eat and drink of his bread and wine. Oh, do not betray, but manfully stand up for the Lord Jesus. You was once bold for Satan. Be now bold for your Christ. His love excites me to write you and pray for you. Your wife also I entreat the Lord to bless, together with your children. May friends join me in hearty wishes for your welfare. I am, dear Mr. B., your affectionate friend and servant in Christ, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 257. On board the Minerva, February 16, 1741, to the Reverend Mr. D. at Edinburgh. Reverend and dear sir, if I mistake not, Mr. M. informed me that you was entered into the ministry. I pray God to enable you to make full proof of it. Oh, dear sir, how holy ought we to be who are called to stand before the Lord. When I consider the greatness of the office and my own unworthiness, I am sometimes quite abashed. This promise, lo, I am with you always, is my daily support. Blessed be God, I find it fulfilled in my soul. The great work is begun in America at Georgia, South Carolina, New York, Philadelphia, and New England. God has confirmed the word by spiritual miracles and signs. You will see that what I have wrote to dear Mr. T, your assistance in respect to the orphan house would be very acceptable. I am several hundreds of pounds in debt on that account. The God whom I serve is able to discharge it. You have heard of the liberty of the New England people. Dear Mr. D., God's goodness astonishes me. What, can I think anything too much to do or to suffer for so dear a master? I am lately bound over to Charlestown in South Carolina for libeling the clergy. The libel, falsely so-called, I shall soon send you after my arrival. Thus opposition is coming on gradually. Pray that the Lord may cover me with all his armor. I am a weak, defenseless creature in myself. Jesus alone is my strength and my redeemer. I write this on board that you may know You are not forgotten. No, though I never saw you in the flesh, you are much beloved by, dear sir, your affectionate and fellow laborer in our Lord's Vineyard, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 258, on board the Minerva, February 17, 1741, to the Reverend Mr. T. at Edisto. Dear Mr. T., Providence prevented my coming to see you at Edisto. However, I must not omit writing to you now. How is it with your heart? I hope you are not Nisma UXORIUS. Take heed, my dear B., take heed. Time is short. It remains that those who have wives be as though they had none. Let nothing intercept or interrupt your communion with the bridegroom of the church. I hope you do not feel such damps of soul as you used to complain of. May the Lord of glory dispel every black cloud and cause you continually to rejoice in his salvation. You have strong passions. The Lord Jesus is stronger. In his strength, may you subdue them till you are meek as a lamb and are become a very little child. I write this because I pray for you most heartily. Deal with me in the same manner. And now, dear brother, farewell. The Lord be with you. He is pleased to refresh my soul and give me the prospect of a short passage. I commend myself and affairs to the prayers of your flock, and I earnestly recommend you to the God of all grace, that he may bless you and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified in earnest prayer of, dear Mr. T., your affectionate brother and fellow laborer in the Lord, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 259, on board the Minerva, February 17, 1741. To Mrs. B. in Charlestown. Dear Mrs. B., I am much obliged to you many ways. The Lord reward you a thousandfold. Your prayers are heard. God is carrying us upon the wings of the wind. The angel of the covenant accompanies us in the way. The present season is a time of refreshing to my soul. I hope it will be a profitable voyage. I think I see more into the wickedness of my own heart and the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus, who hath redeemed me by his precious blood. I believe you can say so. Why do you shake your head? Woman, why doubtest thou? Hast not the Lord visited your soul? Have you not heard him say in his word applied by his Spirit, I have loved thee with an everlasting love? And do you think God would tell you so if he was not so? Anyway, therefore, with all desponding fear, come boldly with a full assurance of faith and draw water plentiful out of the wells of salvation. Oh, that all were comforted, as I am now comforted of God. I would not eat my spiritual morsels alone. I hope a letter from you will acquaint me how good the Lord has been to your soul. I have no greater joy than to hear my Christian friends walk in the truth. The Lord be with you. Remember me to your father and sisters, that you all may be true members of the household of faith. Praise your affectionate brother and servant, G.W. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 260. On board the Minerva, February 17, 1741. To Mr. B. and his wife at Bethsaida. Dear Brother B., when I left Charlestown, the Lord seemed to give me a full assurance that we should have a speedy passage. We have hitherto had scarce any contrary winds and are now very near the Western Islands. We had one storm the first week, but almost ever since have been favored with weather as well as wind. Oh, that you would call the family together and praise the Lord for the mercies conferred on us, the unworthiest of the sons of men. I do not know that I have failed praying for you one day since I have been out. I long to hear what the Lord hath done for your souls. What say you? Do you live in love? Do you strive together with me in your prayers? Are any of the orphan lambs beating after their great Savior? Is your mouth open? Is your heart enlarged? Is your soul swallowed up in God? Does Bethsaida answer its name? It is indeed a house of mercy. These questions I hope to have answered in the affirmative. If you ask how it is with my soul, blessed be God, I can reply, very well. The Lord gives me a feeling possession of himself. I have been enabled to compose UINE
DISCOURSES, for the press. God willing, you shall hear from me often. I write this that I may be ready if I should hear of any ship coming your way immediately upon my arrival. Receive it as a token of my love, which God knows is unvenged from your affectionate brother and servant in Christ, G.W. End of letter 260, and been read by Peter John Priestes.